Well, I want to welcome you this morning again to the Bridge. Wow. It's like just takes my breath away sometimes. I pray you know what that is in general. When you're truly worshiping, you kind of lose sight of yourself. You lose track. What a wonderful thing it is to be taken to the foot of the cross. Well, I want to welcome you. And I want you to know that we're here today continuing on in a series that we've entitled Doulos, Servant of God, the Servants of God. And for those of you that are here as a guest, let me tell you where we are. We've been going through the book of Revelation, and 4 weeks ago we hit the halfway mark. And we came across this verse at the end of chapter 11. Verse 18 of chapter 11 of the book of Revelation says this: the time has come now where the servants of God and those who are destroying the kingdom of God will be separated. What we see specifically in Revelation 11:18 is that God is telling us it's time to begin to reward the servants and pour out wrath on those who are working against God. And I said to our church family then, God hit me like a ton of bricks and said, most people don't understand the difference between those two groups, especially those who tend to be highly churched, very religious people. And he told me we need to camp. And so we've been now in 4 weeks of a hiatus looking at that verse and understanding what you read in your Bible where it says the servants of God. The Greek word for servant is doulos. And we've taken 4 weeks now, the first week to define it, to understand what doulos means. And we showed you that that is a slave term. And Lord in your Bible, in the New Testament, represents slave language, a master-servant, slave-slave owner relationship. And in week one, we defined all that. And in week two, we looked at the nuance of what that is lived out. Last week, we saw that anybody and everybody is invited to be a doulos, that through the bread of life, a life surrendered to Christ, this gift of a blessed servant is extended to anybody and everybody. Well, this week, what I want to show you is another aspect of this. You see, if you look at Revelation 11:18, you realize that there are only two groups in eternity. There are only two. You are either going to spend your time with fellow doulos, rewarded with a relationship with Christ forever in heaven, or you will be separated from him in a very real hell. And so I come to you today saying this: you're going to spend eternity with one of two groups. And here's the promise that I pray you will see through Ephesians chapter 4, that all the doulos are going to stick together. I promise you on the word of God that the doulos, the true doulos, will stick together. I want to show you areas in which we share a unity, where we stick together through the love and the grace of God. And before we're done today, I want you to see a number of areas where we are one. I want to start off by showing you, as we read God's word, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I want to show you that we are unified in a calling. We are unified in our character, and we are unified in our core, which is connected by the Holy Spirit. Listen to what God's word says here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. As a prisoner for the Lord. Get that. Paul is writing here to the Ephesians. And this is a letter that is not intended to rebuke anybody, but to encourage. So I ask you this morning as you listen to hear the encouraging word of God. Know this. Paul is speaking from prison. So here's a fellow doulos, one who has surrendered to the extent of not only having been beaten to within inches of his life, but now writes to us from prison. A doulos prisoner. He said to us in chapters 1, 2, and 3, this is what it means to be in Christ. And now as he opens up chapter 4, he tells us this is what it means to walk in the church, to be a body within the love and family of God. So he tells us this, opening up chapter 4, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you. Remember, I told you earlier, today is a day of passion. Paul says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. We are unified as children of God in our calling. The words here, worthy, tied back in the Greek to the matter of equal weight. What Paul is saying is, I urge you, I plead with you, I beg you, please live. Don't talk. Don't describe. Live a life worthy, equal in weight to the blessing you received as one who is in Christ. If you've been given the gift of being a child of God, then I plead with you to live like a child of God. We are unified and connected in that calling, to live as those who are truly in Christ, in a relationship with Him. He goes on in verse 2, says, be completely all in, be completely with reckless abandon, all of who you are, be humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. We are unified in character. These are the building blocks of Christianity. You will not build a strong Christian life if you do not have Christian character at the core and at the foundation. We are to be humble. We are to be meek. Now, we talked about this before. That's not weak, that's meek. That is strength under control. We're to be patient with one another, bearing with one another in love. You see, here what we find is not that I'm willing to tolerate you, but that I love you, that I bear with you. You know those idiosyncrasies of so-and-so that drive you nuts? You love them through those. Why? Because we are unified in the body of Christ. If my left hand doesn't like what my right hand is doing, it doesn't smite, because we are one. We're called not to just put up with and not to build these towers of me. What's the essence of humility? It's selflessness. It's thinking more of others, caring more for others than we do ourselves. You see, at the very heart of what it is to be a Christian are these character traits. They're not just surface things that we put on when we're around the other church people. These are the building blocks of who we are. God's word says these are to define us at our very core. Verse 3 says this, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. Here what Paul is saying is sweat. Do it with zeal. That the very heart of who you are should be the issue and the caring and the priority of protecting the unity of the body. Let me ask you this. How far are you willing to go to protect the unity of your family, the unity of your church, the unity of Christianity? Is it something that you will zealously defend? Does it beat your heart? Does it list amongst the top priorities in your life? Where are you when it comes to protecting the unity of the body of Christ? Say, well, I pick my battles. You know, you want to be careful. You don't want to ruffle feathers. I'm here to tell you, my friends, in the name of love and truth, there are feathers that may need to be ruffled. Is it important enough to you to protect the unity of the church to where you'll make a top priority out of it? Because God's word says that that's to be so. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit. Where does the unity come from? From the Spirit of God. Christian unity, this oneness, this is a gift and a component of God. He gives it to us and then He tells us to protect it. How? Through the bond of peace. Let me show you a couple things about peace that may surprise you. See, we think peace, we hear peace, and we think of everybody doing the kumbaya group hug. You know, can't we all just get along? What kind of sacrifice and compromise and laying down do I need to do to maintain the peace? Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're upholding towers of pride, you may need very much to compromise and to lay down. But there are three core components to being a peacemaker for God. And number one is that there needs to be total, brutal honesty. Say, what do you mean, Pastor Jeff? I'm talking about the truth that isn't easy to share. I'm talking about the honesty that isn't easy to share. God's word told us this even in the Old Testament. We see through Ezekiel and also in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 6:14 tells us that there are those to be watched out for. He tells us, beware of those who say peace, peace, when there is no peace. I know you know this place. It's called political correctness in our world. It's called not wanting to ruffle feathers. It's called picking your battles, where people will say peace, peace, where there is no peace. Jeremiah describes it this way. He says, you tell my people that their wounds are okay when they are not. You say peace, peace, when there is no peace. God's people are called to protect the unity, first and foremost with truth. Honest, gut-wrenching at times truth. And to be honest enough, love people enough to be honest enough to put reality on the table. Woulda, coulda, shoulda does nothing. We have to deal with what is. And until we deal with what is, we're propagating a lie. We're leading people down a road that's going to continue in deception, delusionment. Second, we need to be willing, as those who are going to be peacemakers, to risk pain. You have to be brutally honest, lovingly honest, totally honest. You have to be willing to risk pain. How many of you know that it is painful sometimes to apologize? It can be very painful to have to apologize. It stirs stuff up that we don't want stirred. If you're going to be a peacemaker, you have to be willing to risk pain. Okay, now I'm going to go from preaching to meddling right here. And I'm going to tell you that sometimes you have to be willing to risk the pain of correcting and rebuking people. I can tell you, my wife will tell you, the toughest thing about this call in life is I end up having an awful lot of very difficult conversations with people. It's based on my call to be a peacemaker. There are a lot of times and places and conversations that I would much rather not have, I promise you. We may have had some of those conversations. You may be thinking, yeah, I wish you had just shut up and we hadn't have talked. If it's any consolation, there are many times going in and coming out where I had the exact same feeling. But I'm not called to surrender to my feelings. I'm called to be a peacemaker, and so are you. And there are times where you're going to have to risk very painful realities to bring truth in an honest way. The third piece, and this sounds the most controversial of all, is that true peacemakers are fighters. You say, what? They don't go together. Yes, they do. Because there will be times in your life where you're going to have to fight for truth. You're going to have to fight for love. You're going to have to fight somebody to help somebody. I've used the analogy before of lifeguards. They're taught when they go way out and somebody's in a riptide or a current, they go in to rescue somebody who's drowning, and that person literally starts to fight them. They don't realize it. They're not conscious of it. And the lifeguards are trained to knock them out, to stop them from fighting so that they can rescue them. There are times where we may have to fight for truth, fight for love. Sometimes peacemakers make trouble to make peace. So I don't know about that one. Think about it. If somebody is aggressively trying to sweep things under the carpet, if somebody is aggressively trying to put lipstick on a pig, if somebody is aggressively rejecting truth, you may have to fight for the truth. Fight for the love. Now, we don't become belligerent. We don't get nasty and ugly. As I said to you before, we fight from our knees. And we fight with truth and love. That's God's way. No more, no less. I want to show you somebody this morning Her name's Blair Wingo. She comes out of Los Angeles, part of a small inner city ministry called Passion for Christ Movement. Her gift is poetry. And she and her friends, through drama and dance and music and poetry, share the love and truth of God. And so in the interest of sharing diversity and unity, somebody who's willing to fight as a peacemaker for Christ by turning on the lights and sharing love and truth, I want you to hear another way of seeing Jesus, seeing his truth, and what I found to be a very powerful sharing, and I pray it'll bless you. This young lady is a sister of you and me, if you're a child of God. And we are very, very close.
We got a false Jesus being portrayed. I've seen on TV, acting cool, you see he's changed. A different Jesus from the Bible, so allow me to bring the real Christ on stage. Not that whack Jesus, the one not based on fat Jesus, too often displayed. The Christ in glory, not the one in your chain. Because he's the real Jesus piece that only dwells in the saved. So allow me to paint the picture of Christ in the scripture, preaching faith and repentance that your too cool Jesus never seems to mention. It seems like he's down with all the things that you do. But come on, there's only one Jesus who is true. So which one will you let reign over you? Who? The millionaire Jesus who just wants to make you rich, give you some ice, fame, money to prove that you are blessed? The Black Panther Jesus who throws up his black fist? The Kanye West Jesus who walks with no holiness? Which one will you choose? I said, which one will you choose? So I think it's long overdue to have a reintroduction of Christ. So there won't be any confusion as to which one is right, because one leads to death and the other is life. So allow me to reintroduce the Christ. Allow me to reintroduce the Christ. I said, allow me to reintroduce the Christ. He's been distorted by the people and it just ain't right. Allow me to reintroduce the Christ, not someone you can pimp around to propel your cause, or a name you can proclaim to just cover your flaws. Look, if this is true, then you're serving a different boss. Your Christ is an idol, and you're probably lost. Because Christ in the scripture, he gave a call to forsake all. Not to wear a cross, but to take up your cross and follow him. Because we're holding a death sentence because of our sin. And it's his mercy that his wrath hasn't burned times 10. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah, but a curse within. You see, he gives us a chance to learn of him so that he can be glorified in his rightful place. So if we're serving this imitation Jesus, dude, it's like a blatant slap in the face, distorting his grace and disregarding his sacrifice. For a worldly Christ, like the purpose-driven life Jesus, who prophesies you'll be used by him before your living life Jesus, or that SAT Jesus who helps you with all your quizzes, gets you into college, allows you to pass math and physics, the homosexual Jesus who doesn't see you sinning, the Destiny's Child Jesus who sees your Beyonce and starts grinning. Which one will you choose? I said, which one will you choose? So I think it's long overdue to have a reintroduction of Christ, so there won't be any confusion as to which one is right, because one leads to death and the other is life. So allow me to reintroduce the Christ. Allow me to reintroduce the Christ. He's been distorted by the people and it just ain't right. So allow me to reintroduce the Christ. Not someone that we can cover his mouth so we can continue to indulge in our dirt. As if he doesn't require us to repent from all sin, to be born again, to never blend in this world. And Broadway is the street that walks the material girl. She's got you seduced. She feeds you a phony Jesus that doesn't want to save you from your sins, but wants to kick it with you. Like, Jesus is my homeboy, or Jesus got me employed, or Jesus is my decoy. But will the real Jesus please stand up, the one who is true? Because he's been pushed out. because he's not down with your sin. And it hurts me to see how the church will defend their lifestyle. It's like, wow. Don't we want to know Christ? The one who willingly gave his life to set us free from our sin, you see. And I must do this by any means necessary. See, I must never hide the light. So tonight, I'm going to introduce Jesus Christ. I said, I'm going to introduce Jesus Christ because he's been distorted by the people and it just ain't right. So I'm going to introduce Jesus Christ because one day, dude, he is coming back. And it's important that you recognize him because the scripture talks about that. Many people saying, I'm Jesus. No, I'm Jesus. No, I'm Jesus. But which one is that? And you got to get in the Bible to see about that, that he's coming in the clouds with power and glory. And every knee will bow, testify to his authority. So this Jesus of the scripture better take priority. Not the one that's accepted everywhere by the majority when he himself said the world would hate him. So why all of a sudden does the world want to date him? Hopefully you haven't given in to this. Come as you are, stay as you are, Jesus. He has this wonderful plan for my life, Jesus. You don't need repentance, Jesus, or all roads lead to Jesus. I hope you haven't given in to this, but you serve the one who is holy. Because it would be something if on Judgment Day, the Jesus you've been serving was simply an angel of light. Which covered a legion of demons masquerading as Christ. All this time serving a Jesus who's not been pierced in his feet and wrists, who has no sword coming out of his mouth, no rod of righteousness, to go on day by day by day and willingly miss because we're serving a created image that leads you to the abyss. So let's get into scripture so we're not fooled by this Jesus who when we're sinning, he's still with us. Won't give in to this Jesus that the world loves. And he's cool with your worldly music, worldly TV, you going to the club, your sex, your lies, your vanity, your phony love, the very thing that caused Christ in the scripture to shed blood. So let's make sure we're serving the right Christ, not a wolf in sheep clothing that's got you enticed. The true one, want to make you new one, the only begotten Son.
Yes.
Long overdue for you to be introduced tonight. Everybody help me welcome Jesus Christ.
What do you make of that? Oops. Do you find that to be offensive? Do you find it to be a little over the top? I ask you to look past the style of the delivery if you don't find it to be to your liking. And to zero in on the truth. Their church and their movement is called Passion for Christ Movement. Oh, how we would do for more passion for Christ. Let me take you to the next verse because you may be sitting there thinking, I don't know. See, that's a lot of high drama. I don't know about high drama in Christianity. You know, I like my church neat and pretty and I like to sit in the same place and I like to have this box called Christianity. My religion comes neatly served. Thank you. That's a little over the top. Let me take you to God's word now in chapter 4, verse 4 of Ephesians. And let me show you something that I dare say some may never have seen before, no matter how many times you've read it. Let me show you some passion for Christ. Verse 4 through 6, God's word says this. There is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to one hope, when you were called one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Do you think that she may have been a little over the top? Let me just ask you, why do you think it is that God would go to the lengths of saying one, 7 different times, one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, I like to say Daddy, of us all? I'll tell you why. Because the world is filled with counterfeits. Because if you're not passionately seeking out the true one, you will most likely be sucked up into the current of all other. There is one body. One true body. Now, Jesus is not telling us, Paul is not speaking on behalf of God, saying that there is only one entity out there. Look around. There are tons of bodies. You can go to the Mormon church this Sunday morning, and you can find where they are going to be praying to and leaning towards the truths of Joseph Smith. That's Jesus plus. You can go to the Jehovah's Witness church, where you will find Jesus minus his deity. You can go to the Buddhist temple. You can go with the radical Muslims. You can go to a number of bodies all over the world, but there is only one, and we are to be passionate about it, because all others, let me take you back to Revelation 11:18. It is time to begin to reward the doulos and the saints and those who reverence God's name. And it is also time to begin to destroy those who are destroying the kingdom of God. You will be in one of two camps. There are 1,000 camps out there. There's only one that is the true body of Christ. And I don't care how close you get to it. If you're not in it, you're outside, and you will spend eternity separated from God. One body. There is one Spirit. Now let me tell you, that Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and it is the biblical Holy Spirit. We have many groups out there that are counterfeiting the Spirit of God, that are telling you, oh yes, we're the same. It's the same God. No, it's not. Because, and I speak directly to the prosperity movement and the name it and claim it gospels that are so radically sucking the life out of so many people by convincing them that the Spirit of God is in their pocket. That there is a Spirit of God who will show up 2 weeks from Friday at such and such a place because Benny Hinn is there or Prophet so-and-so is there. And everybody knows that where that person goes, God has to answer. God jumps at their beck and call. Or if you do A, B, C, D, E, and F and put an extra 20 in the plate, then I'll guarantee you that this Holy Spirit that I have will do this for you. He will give this to you. That is not the one Spirit that is being spoken of here. The one Spirit of God is God. He jumps for no one. He goes where he says he will go. He does what he says he will do. And we are servants of God. We don't have the remote control in telling him to jump and do and give and bless as we see fit. And if you've heard of or are being lured to that spirit, I want you to know that is not the spirit of Ephesians 4:4. There is one Spirit. There is one hope. The hope of Christ's return and home in heaven. How many of you have seen ministries, professing Christians, prophets, ministries, churches that will tell you indeed that the hope is here. The hope is that you'll have prosperity. The hope is that you'll have a better life, quote unquote. You'll get more stuff. The Lord will lighten your load. You don't have to be sick. If you are, it's because you don't have enough faith. That's hogwash. The one hope is in Christ alone and a home forever in heaven. There are a ton of others being propagated and sold. They are not the biblical true hope that we have as children of God. And again, I say this to you. Why do you think God says with more passion than a young lady from LA, one, 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 one? Because there are tons out there stealing the life and the souls of people that Jesus loves and we've been called to share with. There is one Lord, Kurios. You saw it as we began to study doulos. There is no doulos without a Kurios. There is only one Lord of the Bible. Here again I say to you, there are tons of lords out there. Tons of lords being sold. And if you think it's radical to be a doulos, to be a slave for the master of Christ, let me ask you to look very closely at our radical Muslim terrorists that are literally turning the world upside down. They have no problem with the concept of kurios and doulos, Lord and Master. They've just been sold a bill of goods. They have bought into the wrong Lord. Buddha is not the Lord. Joseph Smith was not the second coming of the Lord. The Pope is not the Lord. There's one Lord. His name is Jesus, and he is the Christ. Acceptance of him as Lord then gives you the privilege of knowing him as Savior. There is a cause and effect relationship there. There is one faith, and one faith alone that will bring you home to heaven. There is only one faith that will open up the door to grace given as a gift from God. Faith in being good enough doesn't cut it. Faith in anybody else as the giver of eternal life is wrong. And again, somebody's got to be loving enough to be totally honest, to be willing to risk pain, if need be, to fight for the truth. There's one faith. And there is one baptism. Doesn't matter what you do in water. Doesn't matter what you do in ceremony, in ritual. There is only one baptism into the body of Christ. And that comes through the heart of somebody who says, yes, I believe Jesus is the only way, that he is who he says he is, and he will do what he promises to do. I embrace him as my Lord, and I count myself privileged to be his slave. One baptism. I promise you, my friends, that are going to be baptized this morning. When you go under, declaring to the world your willingness to follow Christ and symbolically go with him into the tomb, you are saying that under that water dies the old self. And the person coming up is new. Amen. I promise you, each person that comes up out of the waters of biblical baptism is a brother or sister in Christ, and we will be together forever as doulos, connected to Christ, because there is one baptism. Now, if you do something in water or something else that you call baptism, and it is not a declaration of Jesus as your personal Lord and your Savior, it doesn't matter what you call it. It is not the real deal. It is not the one baptism called out by Scripture. And here, perhaps best of all, there is one God and Father of us all. Us all is not a universal claim to every person that walks the planet. It's the all of Christianity. It is the all of those who are true children of God, as defined by God's word, the one true word. He is God of all and Father. Daddy. Abba God. Daddy God. We spend a lot of time at the park as a family. Monet is playing soccer. Our little guys love to play on the jungle gym. Our big guys love to go and play. I want you to know, when I show up at the park, there tend to be a lot of families there. A lot of kids, a lot of dads. And when our family is there, there are four children that know me as Daddy. There are four children that respond to me as Daddy. Four children that when I say it's time to go or we need to do something different, that will listen to me and respond because I am their daddy. Now, there are a lot of dads there and there are a lot of children there. But there's something special about my children. And they would say there's something special about my daddy. We have a relationship and it's different. I can be in the midst of a bunch of other dads and children, but there's only one family that has the truth of the connection. You see, my blood is in them. I want you to hear that again. My blood is in them. Daddy God says, for those of you who have accepted Jesus Christ, my son, as your Savior, as your Lord, my blood is in you. And this may sound a little graphic, but you need to hear it. My blood is on you. You have been bought with a price. And those that are mine will hear my voice, because I am their daddy and they are my children. And in a world chock full of other dads and other kids, you're going to hear some on the playground saying, well, my dad's better than your dad. You say what you want, but my dad's going to take me home. Amen. And I got the only home in the neighborhood worth going home to. There's one God and one daddy among all. My blood is in them and their blood is in me. We share DNA. That's the truth. It's not popular. It's a little over the top. I don't know that I like the delivery. There is one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and daddy of them all. That's God's truth in love. We who are genuine, biblical believers, children of God, we share in that. We share in that. How and why? Let me take you to verse 7. Here's where you understand. Let me share this with you, because I know some may say, either those of you here today or some that may listen on the internet or watch later, say, you know, see, this, it just gets so heavy-handed, so narrow-minded. Let me share a couple of verses with you. God's word says this in Matthew 12:30. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. I want you to understand the division here. Two groups. Those who will be rewarded for being doulos, servants of God, and those who are destroying the work in the kingdom of God. Jesus himself says, you are either with me or you are against me. There is no middle ground. There isn't, well, I'm sitting on the sideline trying to decide. You know, there's just so many good versions of religion. Or say, well, I've decided the religion of Christianity. But even here, there's so many good versions. And look at this one. They tell me I'll get all this good stuff. And I'll get to feel good along the way. That Pastor Jeff guy, he's talking about being a slave, a servant. Laying down your life. Picking up a cross. What's that all about? It's about truth and love. Jesus says, if you don't buy into that, if you don't come alongside, you're not just neutral. You are scattering. You're not just kind of hanging out on the outside. You're doing evil by not doing good. Not my words. Jesus says, he who is not with me is against me. You say, well, what do you mean by against? Let me tell you. And he who does not gather with me scatters. You are sending people away from Christ if you are not actively engaged in bringing him to Christ. Well, I'm inviting him to my church. Well, your church does not match up with one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord. Well, I guess that means I'm scattering. Bingo, we have a winner. That's the power of truth in love. You see, it's not to chastise, it's not to beat down or to win a debate. It's to wake up and stir the hearts of God's people to his truth. We don't want to browbeat somebody to make them feel bad. We want to wake them up and bring them to Christ. But you got to know the truth. And it needs to be shared in love. Otherwise, you can have all the best intentions in the world and be so far away from God. And the worst thing is you'll have people all along the way telling you you're fine. The insulators of Satan. You're fine. Don't make such a big deal of it. What? Just keep doing what you're doing. You're trying hard. Truth and love. truth and love. God's word says this, they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they are all not of us. God's word says, yeah, but you know, when you talk like that, people don't like it. It's not our job to massage the truth into a way that tastes good for others. It's our job to live the truth in love. Verse 7 brings us to a place where grace is introduced. And this is really, this is everything if you think about it. God's word says this in verse 7, to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ proportioned it. As he apportioned it, he decided who's going to get what. He has made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He gives you what it takes to come home. The question is, what are we going to do about it? To recognize that this grace has been given for the purpose of growth and service. God saves us that we'll become instruments of service, that we'll be multipliers of truth and love. And in the spirit of some of the illustrations and the music this morning, I wanted to show you that God is most glorified when tremendous diversity is unified. When we can come in all of our distinctives, when we can love those who are so much unlike us, but who share that same core, that same oneness in Christ, God is incredibly glorified. I want to ask you this morning to celebrate some of that with me as we now come. And we have brothers and sisters who are very diverse, very different, who have come to say, I have received that grace. And I want to ask you right now where you sit. Are you a big enough person to be small enough to admit that you need grace? You see, we hear about grace, and in the church world, we say, oh yeah, I've heard that, I know that. Saved by grace through faith. Yeah, I got it. But I want to ask you something. Is that a learned response, or is that a personal experienced response? Are you big enough to be small enough to say, I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and without grace I will be eternally lost? Or are you caught up in the routine of religion? Are you able to get through this life on your own? Do you just need a little extra side portion of Christ every once in a while? We're going to come and listen and share with some brothers and sisters who have come to the place of saying, I am big enough to be small enough to acknowledge that I need God's gift of grace, and I am thanking God publicly that I have received it as a child of God. If you'll start to come. Amber, are you going to be first?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amber's a young lady that we met, God's divine appointment. Amber is an employee that does the lights here every week. And as one who's been here employed to do the lights, she has heard the knock of God at the door of her heart. And she came and said, Pastor Jeff, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, and I want to be baptized. Amber, let me ask you, in your own words, why are we here today?
Well, at first I was like, what am I going to say? Oh my gosh, I'm so nervous. But God knows me. He knows who I am. And I feel like I have to, I don't know how, like, to prove myself to him, but he knows who I am. I'm there with him, and people, I don't know, I pray by myself a lot more than people think, and it's not just I'm praying to, oh, I'm having a bad time, but it's a relationship. He understands.
Amen. Do you want the world to know that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do. Amen. Amber, It is now my great honor and my privilege to baptize you upon your public profession of Jesus being your Lord and your Savior, to now baptize you, my young sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Ready? Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's so warm.
Yes.
That's good.
James, they're loving you, brother. James totes in hot water, pan full by pan full, so that this is not a cold experience.
Amen.
Thank you, James. Scott? Scott, my brother. What a wonderful truth it is to be a life radically transformed. Tell me, my brother, why are we here?
Well, I've been radically transformed, I know. And this is my opportunity to give, profess my faith and love for Jesus publicly and to hand my life over to Him.
Amen. What you're seeing here, this movement that's taking place, Scott's in one of our life groups. And what you're seeing is some of his life group members, because they really care, because they love him, and they want to be a part of this celebration and declaration, have come forward. I'm going to back away and let more of you get your hands in there. Scott's wife, April, and his daughter, Brooke, also, all believers. You see, in the Bible, baptism happens when believers baptize believers. You don't have to have a funny collar on or some title or have been through a certain amount of schooling. All you have to do is love Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And then you share in the privilege of baptizing others. Matthew, come on down. Soundboard can wait. Matthew's back there, another one of the life group brothers. He's got some responsibilities on the soundboard. But you know what? If we go black, it doesn't matter. This is what it's all about. Scott, now surrounded by people that love you, it is our great honor and privilege to baptize you, my radically transformed brother, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If you have not read your Bible, I want to encourage you, if you go nowhere else, go to the book of Acts chapter 2 and you will see the birth of the New Testament church. This is a great picture to go along with that reading. This is the modern version of what it is to be the New Testament church. Amen. Who's next? Stacy? Dave, why don't you come down and be a part of this as well? Stacy, unbeknownst to her, moved into the neighborhood not too long ago. About a year ago, you moved in next to Anita and Kurt? A little over a year ago. And because a neighbor who loves Jesus with all of her heart shared her Jesus with a new neighbor, God's work began and hasn't stopped.
Amen.
Amen. Looks like family and more love. Stacy? Let me ask you now, with all these people here to love and support you, why are we here?
Well, I think I have kind of been fighting God.
And, nobody's ever done that before.
And I'm just ready. That's it.
Amen. We call that surrender. Mm-hmm. You surrendered to victory. Is Jesus your Lord and your Savior, Stacy? Is that why you're here, to let everybody know? Well, here again, I'm going back away. Come on in, Dennis. I'll get in the back. We now together. You her aunt?
Yes.
I've heard about the aunt. The aunt of truth and love. Amen. Well, then we celebrate together. Dave's her husband and was going to follow next. Together now, Stacy, it's our honor and privilege to baptize you, our sister. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. She's not going to get to go far to dry off because Dave, her husband's about to come right in. Dave called me the other day, and his story, like Stacy's, may echo in your heart. Stacy's saying, I've been fighting God for a while. When Dave called me, he said, you know, I grew up in the church. I've actually been baptized a number of times, but it wasn't where I understood it. It wasn't about my heart being devoted to Jesus Christ as my Lord. And now I understand. I'm a part of a life group that meets on Monday night, and I've seen truth and love come alive in my life. And now I understand what this is about. And if it's okay, Pastor Jeff, I'd like to be baptized with my wife, not because we're husband and wife, but because we're brother and sister in Christ.
Amen.
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 David, tell us, why are we here?
Well, I'm in desperate need of a little bit of Jesus in my life. And it's time. I mean, times are tough. We're going through some pretty harsh experiences, and just a tiny bit of prayer has done more than, you know, I could ever possibly imagine. I just want, you know, to keep soaking it up, and I want more and more. And you know, God is great, and so that's the journey I want to take.
Amen. God is great. More happening through a little bit of prayer than all the energy and effort I've put forth in so long. Your story is our story. Your truth is our truth. Dennis, let's come again. David, now upon your public profession, it is our great honor and privilege, my brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Careful, brother. Still a little slippery. Got him.
That feels good.
Amen. It does feel good. Who's next? Jeff? Jeff called me last night just to make sure everything was still on. And he said, I'm having a little bit of transportation trouble. But I want you to know I've doubled up support and help for tomorrow just to make sure. He said, if need be, Pastor Jeff, I'll start walking tonight. I'm going to be there tomorrow.
Amen.
Be baptized. Jeff, share with us now. Why are we here, my brother?
First off, I'm here to thank you for showing me love when at times I don't love myself. And I want to thank everyone in here who has welcomed me 14 weeks ago with open arms and shown me the way when at times I may be lost. And I want to thank Jesus Christ, my Savior, who sees something in me at times I might not see in myself. I want to turn my will and my life over to Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Victory in Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jeff, I say this to you because I share this with you. If you've ever said you've never seen God, if you hear people talk about the power of God, and you think, I don't get it, well, I'm going to just tell you, open up your eyes and look, and then say hi to portraits of Christ. My friend, we hang together in the museum of life. Two portraits painted by Christ. And if the world could see what was on the canvas underneath, they wouldn't want us anywhere near them. But praise God, there's a painting on top that Jesus has done. And he does love us no matter what, even when we don't love ourselves. Bridge family, I want to say a special thanks to you because it is your living out real deal faith, not playing church, not being a fancy, nice place where people go to church. But what you just heard Jeff share is he's here in large part because God worked through you because you were being the church. And if it seems like we go a little over the top sometimes, or we get a little anal about definitions, this is why. Because you didn't offer him a Band-Aid. You offered him Jesus.
Amen.
And our brother Jeff is now telling the world, we're going to share rooms together. As Charlie likes to say, we're going to hug for a million years, go play ping pong, and come back and hug some more. We're together forever, my brother. Love you. Come on up, Donnie. Here, let somebody else. You need pictures taken? We love you. And we now celebrate with you on your public profession, Jeff, that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. And so now we together baptize you as a brother forever in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Woo. Come on down. Many of you recognize this face. You say, that's Mike. I know Mike. You may not know his father-in-law, but Mike has had a journey, a very powerful journey. Some of us know him well enough. Some of us have children who know him well enough to see the hand of God in his life in such a powerful way. And we celebrate together what I know is a very deep, very meaningful experience. Michael, I'm just going to let you speak for yourself. Why are we here?
Well, I'm here first and foremost to express my love for Jesus Christ, not only as my Lord, but also as my Savior. I had a funny instance this week at work, and a lady next to me in the office next to me was having a little trouble with one of our coworkers, and I heard one of the coworkers say, well, you use that Jesus as a crutch. So I came out of my office and I looked at him. I said, if Jesus is a crutch, I never want to walk again. So,
amen.
So that's why I'm here.
Amen. Michael is one who's had a real close seat, got to watch everything up front. I got to tell you, it doesn't get any better than this for a pastor. A day like today, seeing so many transformed lives and the diversity of it. I got to tell you, when I first met Mike, he's an accomplished jiu-jitsu fighter. They don't teach you how to meet those people in seminary. And what I found was one of the biggest hearts I've ever seen. God has got his hand on you, my brother. If you've ever met somebody in whom God is doing a work that is like a magnet, I tell you this, it's probably embarrassing, and I don't mean it this way, but I know that God has put himself and Michael in a magnetic way. People are drawn to him, and I know it's because of the truth and the love and the authenticity and the transparency and the willingness to suck it up when it's time, the willingness to go the extra mile. I say this with a little caution, but I've never met a more mature, immature Christian in my life. I mean it in the most loving way. It was like, I think it's kind of like Adam, you know? You read the Bible, Adam wasn't born as a baby. God made him as a man. And as I saw what the Lord was doing in Michael, it was very similar. I saw the work of God far beyond what would ever make sense. And I thank God for you and for that privilege of being here with you. Now with friends, father-in-law, wife, Mandy's dad has played a major role in Michael's development and his coming to Christ. And we're privileged to have him here with us today. He's a pastor of another church. And he has laid down those responsibilities to be here at this time. If you want to know how special this moment is, this is very, very special. I'm going to step back and say that it is now the honor of all that know you and call you Brother Michael, to see you baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mandy? If you think Mandy's dad had a big part in Michael's walk, you can only imagine what Mandy, his wife, has had and is herself an absolute beautiful portrait of God's grace and love. And we've talked a little bit this week about this moment. And I just want to encourage some of you, if you have spent time in your life away from God and you wonder whether or not things that took place in earlier parts of your life had weight or not, don't feel like you've got to do some kind of litmus test for God. He measures the heart. Just get with the Lord. Just pour out your heart and be with Him. Let Him know you love Him. And then what comes, it's all good. It's all beautiful. Mandy, tell us why you're here right now.
First of all, I want to say what just happened is answered prayer. Because we prayed for Mike, and God was faithful, and He is always faithful. I was baptized when I was 6 by my father then, and talking to Jeff this week, I had decided that I didn't really need to get baptized again. I believe that was, I was conscious and I knew what I was doing then, but we spoke, and Jeff knows that I did spend a little bit of time ignoring Christ, not how I should have, but He promises always to give us our keys back to the kingdom when we lose them. And I'm just proud to have found them again, and thankful, and I just want to thank God for being patient, not just over the last 20-some-odd years, but every day for His grace, because I'm certainly not perfect every day, and so just thankful. Just
Mike
so
chuckled.
Thankful for His grace. But I just want to just reconfirm that my life is surrendered to Him every day. And one of the biggest things that brought me here today was one of the biggest trials of my life. And that was Mike and I's struggle with having a child. And God promises if you draw near to Him, He'll draw near to you. And that's the only thing I could do through that time of our infertility was to draw close to God. And He keeps His promises. So just know when you're in that trial, draw near. He'll bring you back. And He has. And we're just joyful with what He's done.
Mandy, upon your confirmation of Jesus being both your Lord and your Savior, it is our privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Heather? Amen. I have to tell you, Heather, I want to tell you up front, Heather, I don't have it with me. But I came very close to bringing an email that Heather sent me, and I was going to read it to you. I've told her it was one of the most beautiful emails I've ever received. And wasn't long, didn't have fancy church words. It was one of the most transparent reflections of a heart changed that I've ever seen. I've been coming, came initially with Justin. And you've been captured by grace. God grabbed your heart. I could see it in the email that you sent. If you would, Heather, tell us, why are you here?
I'm just ready to live the rest of my life with Jesus. For Him.
Amen. I'm here because I'm ready to live the rest of my life for Jesus. Amen. For Him. Amen.
Amen.
Do you tell the world today He's both your Lord and your Savior? Amen. Mom, Dad, would you like to come on this side? Again, this is what it's all about. We're celebrating. We're making a public declaration in the midst of a celebration that your zip code for eternity has changed. And you want everybody to know, forward all your letters to heaven. I'll be there with Jesus. Amen? Well, now, listen, it is our great privilege, it's the honor of a lifetime to baptize you as a sister in Christ in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Laura? All right. Amen. Oh, long robes. Here we go. Laura,
yes.
It's been an awesome journey, hasn't it?
It has.
I just want to encourage you, if you're here today and you don't get all of this, or if it just seems kind of weird or out there, I just want to encourage you, I just want to invite you to the table. Come get some of this, because I promise you there is nothing sweeter in all of the world than to be a part of what Jesus is doing in somebody's life. You're a busy man. It's a good sign. Amen. Laura, tell me, why are we here?
Well, what happened was the first time I came to this church was it was on Father's Day, and you were doing a baptism outside, and I was so moved and touched by it. I knew that it was something that I needed to do for myself, and I too have been away from God for quite a while, and I just something I needed to do for myself to come back and live my life for God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear a common theme? I need to live my life for God. Now, I want you to know that we could put some very sweet tasting things on the end of a hook and throw it out into the community for Jesus and let people know that, hey, if you come here, you'll feel good. Hey, if you come here, we'll affirm you right where you are. You won't need to make many changes. Hey, we'll edit the Bible in such a way that you'll like it. Where do you get a load of what we do with this? And we could have a lot of people filling seats, but not heading to heaven. We share truth in love, and truth is not always sweet, and it's not always easy to swallow, but it'll take you home. You want to live your life for Jesus, and you want the world to know. That is the recipe for heaven and relationship with Jesus Christ. One body, one faith, one Lord, one Daddy calls us brother and sister from here on out. Laura, it is now our great honor and privilege to baptize you, our sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you.
Oops, sorry.
Nope. Sorry, cost of a hug. Sue, will be our finale. Amen. Amen. Sue's waving over more brothers and sisters that love her in Christ. Uh-oh. How's that? Sue, you're somebody that many of us have been praying for quite a while. And recently have gone through some ups and downs. Aren't you glad Jesus doesn't leave either from the mountaintops or the deepest parts of the valleys?
Absolutely.
Tell us, my sister, why are we here?
It's been a long road here, and in particular, the last several weeks have been very difficult for me, and I am so grateful that I have had the Lord to lean on. And His strength and His beauty is just taking my breath away every moment. I'm so grateful, and I need to shout that from the mountaintops.
Amen. 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 Bill, you want to come over? Amen. Sue, as fellow receivers of God's grace, and this is a diverse group. I thought you'd like that. We are a diverse group. We're God's quilt, and that's by design. No pattern, no repeated form, just a bunch of swatches in love with Jesus, sewn together by grace into a quilt that will warm the world if we'll take it out. As fellow swatches for Jesus, we now have the great honor and blessing, Sue, of baptizing you, our sister, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 10 new professing, baptized brothers and sisters in Christ. Let them know how happy you are that we're going to be spending eternity together in heaven. I know that right now you're wet and you're cold, but I'm going to ask you to hold on 1 second. Normally, at this point, they would make their way back and they would be changed, but show you that God is in charge. And it's always fluid here. I got through about 40% of what I was going to share with you today, but I'm not going to go any further. We just had church, and you had a better sermon lived out before you in lives shared than something that I would be articulating right now from Scripture. I want you to know that we share a unification as due loss in our call, in our character, at the very core. Holy Spirit changed. We share the challenge of growing in the Lord. We share the same challenge of growing that becomes change. We've all been called to lay down the old and to pick up the new. And we all share Daddy. Anybody that wants to bring you to anything other than that, as defined by God's word, remember, one. It's like a funnel. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one baptism, one faith, one Daddy. At the end of the day, all the stuff that's out there doesn't matter. One true family of God. I pray that you will recognize and be blessed by the fact that true doulos stick together. We love God, we love people, and we serve the world. True doulos will be together forever with Daddy in heaven. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, what a day. What a day. I thank you so much that you are large and in charge, that you're bigger than any plan, any schedule, that, Lord, you are active and alive in our midst. Oh, Lord, I thank you so, so much for each living testimony that was here today. Lord, I thank you that you are painting a portrait of grace in our very midst. Lord, I thank you that at times you will break me so that you can use me. And that you will break me at times so that you can be reflected truly through me. Father, I thank you that we're a people that want the true one Spirit, one faith, one Lord, one Daddy whose blood runs in us and on us. Make us a people that will live for you In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.